I want us to pray for the word. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We are so grateful, Father God, that you are here with us today. We do not come just to meet by ourselves or to entertain ourselves. We're here because we meet up with you. This is your holy habitation. And so, Father, we pray that you speak to us today. We pray that the entrance of your word would bring revelation, would bring understanding. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, repeat after me. Say, the word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Great, let's go straight to the word. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. If you've got your Bible, go with me to Luke 17, verse 11, as we teach on this powerful day of thanksgiving. Amen. Now, the Bible says in verse 11, one day, Jesus was traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee on the way to Jerusalem. As he was going into a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You see what you do when you are in a desperate place, when you are in a corner somewhere? You don't care about dignity. You don't care about what people say. What you care about is getting an answer to your issue. Glory be to God. So the Bible says they shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." I wonder what happened in their hearts when Jesus just said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the master, to the priests." You see, there are times where we call unto Jesus and we expect him to answer in a certain way. We expect angels to appear unto us, and yet God sends an ordinary dude to answer your problems. So Jesus did not even lay hands on them. He did not say, "I've heard you say, go and show yourself to the priest." While they were going, they were made clean. But one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he came back and praised God with a loud voice. Verse 16, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Now, that man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 10 men were made clean, weren't they? Where are the other 9? Except for this foreigner, were any of them found to return and give praise to God? Then he told the man, "Get up and go home. Your faith has made you well." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Today, I am excited about life. I'm excited and I'm grateful that I woke up today and I came to church. Just for that, I am so grateful because it gives me an opportunity to make right. It gives me an opportunity to pursue my destiny. It gives me a chance to earn one more diamond on my crown in heaven. Glory be to God. If you think about it that way, you'll be grateful for every single day that God allows you to live. Hallelujah. You see, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain." So he was saying, when I live, it is because Christ wants me to do one more thing for him. Hallelujah. He says, when I have breath in my lung, it is because Christ has got an unfinished business with me. Hallelujah. Now, let me go straight to the title of my message. I want to talk to you on a message entitled, Gratitude, an Uncommon Virtue. Gratitude, an Uncommon Virtue. When you look at that title, there are 3 things that stand out that I want to highlight as we get started this morning. The first thing is we need to talk about gratitude. There is a need to talk about gratitude because gratitude is not common amongst many people. If it was common, there would be no point in us talking about it. Because I've realized that what we talk about gets done. And when we talk about something, we become aware of it. And when you are aware of something, you are empowered to deal with it. Glory be to God. You become conscious to this whole notion of being grateful. So when you live today, you'd have been conscientized on the need to be grateful. That is why we need to talk about gratitude. That is why we are saying gratitude, an uncommon virtue. Number two, gratitude is a virtue. It is a virtue. A virtue is a trait or quality that is deemed to be morally good. And therefore, it is a valued foundation in our lives. So when you talk about moral values, gratitude is right at the top there. And it is a virtue. It is an aspect that every person needs to live by. It is the quality of being grateful when you talk about gratitude. It is a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. That's what gratitude is. Now, I've come to realize that gratitude, it goes beyond a thank you. Some people think that when they say thank you, they have shown the highest level of gratitude. It is just at the bottom of this spectrum called gratitude. It is more than delighting in a gift. It is more than feeling happy that you got something that you really liked. So gratitude is an expressed happy feeling you have about a giver. Not so much what you have received. It is an expressed happy feeling you have about a giver because of his or her good deed towards you. You can say to me, I'm grateful that my wife prepares beautiful meals, great meals every single night. But your wife doesn't know that because you haven't expressed your gratitude. Your brother has done things for you. He has helped to pick kids from school for you. And you're saying, you know what? He knows I'm grateful. In my heart, I'm very grateful. Well, sorry, it's not good enough because your brother does not know that you really appreciate the gesture. Hello, somebody. You can say, well, you know what? I'm grateful that we receive the word every single Sunday. Guess what? Your pastor doesn't know it unless you come and tell him. And you say, Pastor, I'm really grateful that you labor every single Sunday and you come and preach the word. That is why it is a virtue. Number three, the third aspect is gratitude is uncommon. It is uncommon amongst men. It doesn't come naturally to a man to be grateful. Why? Because by default, the heart of a man is so evil. We are not prepared to show how grateful we are because we feel the moment I really tell him how I appreciate what he's done, I feel I'm a lesser of a being. Because you're almost acknowledging that I had no capacity to meet that need myself. So in the heart of a man, an ordinary man, he doesn't find it easy to say, thank you. Some can only go to as far as saying, thank you. They are not able to elaborate and say, you know what? I'm really grateful that you lended me your vehicle. If you had not given me your car, I would have been struggling trying to catch taxis to go to work. Because you gave me this vehicle, my life was made so easy this past week. Can you see I'm peeling layers of how grateful I am? I'm telling the person of the impact of his act. Hello, somebody. That is why it is very, very uncommon. Now, we read a very exciting encounter of 10 lepers who sought for healing. These 10 lepers, they were so much in trouble because when you look at the life of a leper during the days of Jesus and in the Old Testament, a leper was only better than a dead man. When somebody looked at a person with leprosy, they were only better than a dead person. In other words, in the community and in their society, a leprosy person was not allowed to be around people. They were not allowed to be within 2 meters of somebody who was clean of leprosy. A leper was not allowed to stay in the same house as their family. They were taken out of the city and they were kept by the ash dump close to the rubbish bin. That is where they stayed. Now, they were in that state of rejection. Their state of rejection went beyond what was on the surface. They actually were carrying within them a spirit of rejection. Because people would see them from afar, they would change direction. I don't know, have you felt like you're carrying leprosy in your life? Where people don't enjoy your company? Where people talk to you like you don't deserve to be in certain environments? So these 10 lepers were really in their difficult space and they were crying for help. They were crying for help. And I'm sure they were prepared to pay top dollar for their treatment. Because treatment would mean be reintegrated in the community. Treatment meant that they were able to go to the temple to worship God. Treatment meant that they are able to come again to that place of being a person. Now, there they were in that place. The Bible says in verse 12, as he was going into a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance, okay? And they shouted. And Jesus came through for them. Jesus brought healing in their lives. Now, the first thing that I want us to learn from this portion of scriptures is this. A recipient of any good deed ought to be grateful. I want you to think about the good deeds you have experienced this whole year. And I want you to then say, of those good deeds, how many of them did I really appreciate? How many of them did I really express my heartfelt gratitude? A recipient of any good deed ought to be grateful. Now, in verse 15, the Bible says, but when one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he came back and praised God with a loud voice. He looked at himself and says, something has changed in my life. I was rejected, but now I'm so pure. My skin is almost like that of a baby. I ought to go back and say thank you to this man. You see, this man had the right attitude in the way that he received the good deed. Again, how many of the good deeds were you grateful for this year? How many of those good deeds did you go back to the person who did it for you and you say, thank you so much? One of the things I've realized is that we have taken the people around us for granted. We have taken our wives, our husbands, the people in the church for granted. We think they ought to do that for us. When your husband wakes up and he goes to work and he drives long kilometers, have you told him how much you appreciate? Or you say, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Why should I thank you for what you're supposed to do? When your wife does all she can to ensure that the house is clean, there are no plates in the sink that are left overnight, to ensure that the kids are sorted in the morning before they go to school, do we say, well, that's your role, that's what you're supposed to do? A heart of gratitude will take us beyond that place where you say, well, you are expected to do it. This man could have just said, like the other 9, well, his name is Rabbi, therefore he was supposed to heal us anyway. But the Bible says when he realized that he was made clean, he said, it is strange for me to go without saying thank you. This morning when we are done with this message, I want you to see it as a strange behavior to not appreciate any good deed, whether small or great. Hello, somebody. Listen to me. Thank you is a small phrase that has the most profound impact in human interaction. Thank you is a small phrase that has the most impact in human interaction. If we can learn that as a church, we'll be able to see this church going to its next level. Because I've realized that whenever somebody says thank you to you, you want to repeat the act. You want to do it, but in a better way. Glory be to God. But when nobody pays attention, things will change. So this is the first issue, that every good deed ought to be appreciated. The person that helps us here to clean this church, maybe we don't even know that there's somebody who cleans the church. Do we appreciate her? When we come into the church, it smells fresh. The carpet is cleaned. After Ignite, we mess the place, yeah? But we came back, the place looks great. Somebody was here in the heat of the sun and they were cleaning the church. Hello? Number two, gratitude is an expectation. Did you know that gratitude is an expectation? It is an unsaid expectation from the giver. We do not vocalize it. But deep down in our hearts, when you do something for somebody, there's an expectation for an acknowledgement, don't we? There is an expectation that is unsaid. It's an unwritten rule that is in every person's heart. You know what? Because we say, I don't do it to receive accolades from you, so we let it go. But in our hearts, there is an expectation for somebody to say, you know what? I've noted what you did for me, and I'm very grateful. Why do I say that? In verse 17, Jesus asked, 10 men were made clean. Were they not? I'm talking about Messiah here, the King of Glory. Jesus could have just said, you know what? It's okay. It's my responsibility anyway to heal the sick, you know, to set free the bound. It's my responsibility. That is why I came on earth. But he went beyond that point of responsibility. He said, I had a choice. Because in Matthew 8, there is a leper who said to the Lord Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me whole. Can you see the transaction here? Jesus did not have to heal this leper, but he said, if you are willing, Master, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I am willing. Do you have the faith to receive it? Now, Jesus was looking and he was hoping. In other words, he was expecting all 10 to come back. But hey, only one came back. The one came back and Jesus said, were they not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the others? This morning I can sense heaven asking, have I not come through for this person? Why does he walk as if nothing has been done in his life? Glory be to God. You know, we need to change the way we look at these things. We need to carry that spirit of being grateful. You know, sometimes I've looked at my walk with the Lord and I've realized that God does not only want me to thank him for the good deeds that he does. He also wants me to thank him for the winters that he has allowed to come my way. Glory be to God. Why? Because when a winter comes, it strengthens you. It does something. It doesn't leave you the same. Your faith goes to its next level because your winter prepares you for the summer for somebody else. Glory be to God. Remember, I shared with you that my wife was telling me, say, you know what? God wants to comfort you. Because when you are comforted by God, you are able to rightly comfort somebody else. Do you know that it is not easy to comfort a person who's bereaving, a person who's grieving, if you have never grieved? If you've never lost a close relative, you will not be able to rightly communicate comfort to somebody who has lost their husband, to somebody who has lost their child, to somebody who is sick. When you have gone through pain in your own body and you know how difficult it is to continue doing your daily routine when you are sick and then you get healed from that sickness and you're able to rightly communicate comfort. Why? Because the Lord has comforted you. The Bible tells us that in all things give thanks to the Lord. When you go through difficult moments, you need to give thanks to the Lord. Because through those moments, the Lord is fashioning you into an instrument that he can use. You see, we pray prayers like, Lord, make me a vessel of honor. Turn me into a vessel of honor. And the Lord says, the only way I can turn you into a vessel of honor, I need to put you through the fire so that I can hit you. Straighten you up, sharpen you up, so that when the moment comes for use, you are able to be useful in my hands. When you sharpen a stone, when you're using the stone for sharpening, it is not the easiest of things to do. And many times we want to be used by God, but we are not ready to be used by God. Does somebody hear me this morning? That is why you need to look at your issues and look at them through the eyes of God. Because God has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. So when we go through our turmoil, he is working out something good through that moment. Glory be to God. You see, Jesus wondered, Where were the other nine? Jesus was expecting it. If Jesus, the Son of God, expected gratitude, how much more us in our hearts? Is there anything wrong in us expecting if I give you a lift, I expect you to say thank you? There's nothing wrong with that expectation. I'm not going to push it, but I'm expecting it. Hello? You see, people might not vocalize it, but they will vote with their action. If you fail to vocalize, if you fail to appreciate people, they will vote with their actions. It's either they pull back or they will do it not to the same level of excellence because they know we are not appreciated. We are just like pens and staplers in this office anyway. Hello? I'm talking about an attitude of gratitude. Now, when I look at this portion of scriptures, there was a 10% hit rate. 10% hit rate, because it was 1 out of 10. Will you allow me to extrapolate this and say, would that mean that in a church setup, only 10% of people are grateful people? In a community, only 10% are grateful people. I don't know, but maybe it's not far-fetched. Where you say only 10% are able to vocalize their gratitude. Number three, we are talking about a grateful heart. Gratitude is a matter of the heart. I've come to realize that gratitude is a matter of the heart. A grateful person has got a heart that is full of gratitude. You see, the virtue of gratitude has been called a state of the mind. It is a state of the mind. It's a state of the heart. Why am I saying this? If you look at verse 15, the Bible says here, now that man was a Samaritan. You need to appreciate what Samaritans were like during that time. The Samaritans were looked at in a very derogatory manner. The Samaritans were seen as an impure breed. Why? Because the Samaritans were a mixture between Jewish people and the Assyrians. And by that, the Jewish people looked at them and said, they are so impure. The Samaritans were worshiping different gods. The Samaritans built a temple of their own. The Samaritans only believed in the 5 first books of the Bible, the Torah. They did not take anything else. So when the Jewish people looked at the Samaritans, they could not see eye to eye. You remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to this woman, and this woman was surprised when Jesus said to her, "Can you give me some water?" And she said to him, I don't get this, because you know very well that us Samaritans and you Jewish people, we do not interact. How can I give you water? What was the issue here? The issue is a Samaritan person was not considered as pure. Now, when he realized that he was made clean, and the person who had made him clean was a Jewish rabbi, all of a sudden he said, I don't deserve to have been cleansed. I don't deserve to have received an answer. But this Jewish rabbi found me worthy among these other 9 Jewish people. I'm just thinking that they must have been Jewish people. But this Samaritan man said to himself, I am and nobody in this community, but this Jewish rabbi found me worthy to be worth of cleansing. And he said to himself, I cannot do this. I'm going back. I want him to know how much I appreciate. I want him to know that he has made me feel like I'm a human being. I want him to know that my heart is feeling so different from before. Glory be to God. So this man went back and said, thank you. Why did he do that? It was because he knew where he was coming from. He knew that there is no other rabbi who would have looked at him. Even more so to lay hands on him and say, you are cleansed. Even to wish him well. In other words, this Samaritan man was used to people saying to him, you better die. You are better off if you die out of that leprosy. But this Jewish rabbi had a different spirit. I'm going somewhere this morning. He did not possess an entitlement mentality. An entitlement mentality, when it enters your children, you have a problem with those kids. Because the children think they are entitled to the food. They think they are entitled to a new pair of shoes. They think they are entitled to a new hoverboard. And if you don't buy them the hoverboard, they sulk for the coming 6 hours. What am I talking about here? Have we become children in our spirit man where we fail to realize that we actually don't deserve this? Hello, somebody. There are a number of things about the issue, the heart of a man here. A grateful person is a person who is humble. Grateful people are humble. Saying thank you is an acknowledgement that you needed somebody to help you out and you had no capacity to help yourself and that person came through and helped you. You might have had capacity, but it would have costed you. Glory be to God. So this person comes and they gave you something and you look at it and say, you know what? I'm really, really grateful because you could have given another person this gift. So grateful people are humble people. Another thing that I see about the heart of a grateful person is grateful people acknowledge their interdependence with others. They are not self-made people where they say to themselves, I don't need nobody in my life. I am complete by myself. I've got the money. I've got the capacity. Leave me alone. But grateful people, they have learned the art of being interdependent. I want you to know there are three stages of maturity. The first stage is being dependent. Okay? When a child is born, this child is utterly dependent on his mama and papa. This child cannot feed themselves. You leave them there by themselves, they will starve to death. Why? They are totally dependent on their parents. That's the first stage. The next stage that you find in that stage of teenagehood and twins, and at that point where all of a sudden this girl sees certain developments around her and she feels, I'm old enough. I can make decisions by myself. Mama, you cannot tell me that it's not time to be in love with that boy. I just love him. I just love him. He just gets me. Okay? So they find themselves in a place of being independent. They feel like I'm old enough, and yet they don't realize they're in a zone of confusion where they just come out of a place of being totally dependent on mama, and all of a sudden they're going into high school, and then everything is just going up and down. Hormones are kicking in, but they want to be independent. There are people like that. They are 40, but they want to be independent. They are not able to listen to somebody's advice because they say, I'm independent. The African countries, the day that they got independent, is like self-emancipation. We are sovereign nations. Western countries, we don't want to hear anything from you. We run our own countries. And people would say, I will keep my land, you keep your land. I remember one president saying things like that. Blair, I'll keep my Zimbabwe, you keep your London. Well, I'm talking about independence. That's another level of maturity. But that's not the quite maturity that God wants us to attain. The latter one, it is interdependence. Amen. The place where you're saying, you know what? I am because you are. Hello? I can become everything I want because you are with me. And I am with you. Glory be to God. That place of interdependence, all of a sudden, you realize your weaknesses. And you say, I need somebody stronger than me to fill my gap. And from that place, you see that we'll be able to be grateful. Another issue I find is that grateful people are emotionally mature. Because when you say thank you to somebody, you are passing on honor to where honor is due. You are acknowledging the strength in somebody else. You are not insecure to acknowledge the strength in somebody else. So when you say thank you to somebody, you are acknowledging their strength. You see, by acknowledging my strength, it doesn't make you lesser strong. Glory be to God. By acknowledging that, wow, you know what? I really love the way our worship team is coming together. I love how they are gelling. It doesn't make you weaker in your area of service. If you're an usher or you're a Go Kids teacher, what you're doing is you're acknowledging their strength. And when you do that, you're boosting them and you see them flourishing. Glory be to God. Now, the fourth aspect we learn from this story is that gratitude opens up room for true worship. Gratitude opens up room for true worship. Why do I say that? When you look at this Samaritan man, the Bible says he went back to God. He went back to Jesus. He came back and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face. He prostrated before Jesus. He worshiped the King of Glory and he kissed his feet. And Jesus said to him, just rise up. Rise up. And I want you to realize right now that when we are grateful in our hearts, we are able to give true worship to God. Because when you give, when you are grateful, you acknowledge all that God is and all that God has done for you. Glory be to God. In the absence of being grateful, it is impossible to render true worship. And I want to suggest to you, can I make this proposition to you? That one of the issues that led to Adam and Eve to fall from grace was a lack of appreciation. God had come to them and he said to them, Adam and Eve, you can eat of every tree in this garden except for that tree. You can eat of every tree in this garden except for that tree. They had access to, I don't know how many fruit trees were in that garden. They failed to appreciate the liberty that God had given them. And they were concerned about that small plant in that corner that God says, don't touch that. This whole garden belongs to you. If they were full of appreciation, they would have said to the devil, we don't need to touch that. We have everything that we need. Hello, somebody. If they had appreciated what the liberty that God had given them, they would not have to doubt the character of God. Because the moment the devil suggested to them and said, did he really say this to you? Actually, it is because he wants to stop certain things from happening to you. He knows that the moment you eat of this tree, you'll be like him. And yet they were like God. When God created them, he said to them, let us create man in our own image. Glory be to God. But because of lack of gratitude and lack of appreciation, they failed the test. Do you hear me this morning? When you look at God and you see him as an almighty God who has favored you, who has given you what you do not deserve, all of a sudden you become grateful. Now, I want you to realize this morning that there is a strong link between grace and gratitude. Between grace and gratitude. Let me do an illustration of this. There is a very strong link because, you see, this is the issue. When Jesus came, Jesus was full. Jesus was complete. If you can give me that slide. You see that when Jesus came, this is an illustration of the grace and gratitude, how grace and gratitude are so interlinked. A person who receives grace rightly is able to appreciate and to worship aright. Because when Jesus came, Jesus was complete. Jesus was full. Jesus lacked nothing. Jesus was rich of mercy. Jesus had everything that he needed. But you on the other side, you were empty. You were poor of spirit. You were poor mentally. You were poor in every respect. There was no life in your spirit, man. And then Jesus, the act of grace was this. He emptied of himself and he brought you into life. There was a direct transfer from the fullness of Jesus, filling the emptiness that he found in you. That was grace in action. Do you hear me this morning? When I had no right to appear before God the Father, Jesus took my place, and through that, I now have a right to appear before God. Hallelujah. When I had no right to be heard when I pray, Jesus came and said, when you pray in my name, my Father will hear you when you pray. Hallelujah. That was grace in action. In return, what do? We cannot pay him back. But the only way to pay him back, it is gratitude in action. When you appreciate all that he did for you, glory be to God. When you start contemplating on the glory of God and his goodness, and you realize, I did not have a right to that, but Jesus did it for me. That will bring about gratitude in your heart. So when the grace of Jesus penetrates the human heart, it rebounds back to God as gratitude. When the grace of God permeates the human heart, it bounces back to God as human gratitude. When we are so grateful, you know, you're saying to Jesus, I might be sick in my body, but I'm grateful you died for me on the cross. Hallelujah. Things haven't gone well here and there, but Jesus, I have eternal life. That is what gratitude does. It is an exchange of grace working in our lives and us paying back through being grateful, just saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Gratitude creates the environment for a greater harvest. That will be my last point around gratitude. Gratitude creates an opportunity or environment for a greater harvest. You can see it around you. When you say thank you to somebody, they flourish. They want to do more. They want to give you better. If you say thank you to somebody when they gave you a present for your birthday, and they really express how grateful they are, guess what? In the coming birthday, you feel like the present was 500 rands last year, and this person really was very appreciative. I'm going to up it up to 700 rands. I will up it up. Why? Because they acknowledged, they appreciated. But the reverse is also true. If they give you a Foschini voucher of 500 and you do not get a call from them, you don't get a WhatsApp from them, they are blessed if you give them another voucher next year. Or you pull it down like, you know what, 300 will do. This guy is not good, but I'll just give him 300 rand. But when you appreciate somebody, they will cross the oceans for you. Yeah. They will go all out for you because they're saying, you don't take me for granted. You don't take my gesture for granted. Glory be to God. So I'm saying here, gratitude creates the environment for a greater harvest. And this is so true in a marriage context. Those of you who are married, you will know that the more grateful you are for what your spouse does, the more you get back. And the less grateful you are, the tap gets closed. And then you got a bit of a problem. Now, the Bible says in verse 19, then he told the man, get up and go home. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. When I read this, I saw it for the first time this time around. The Lord revealed to me that the issue with the one leper who came back understood the mechanism that got him the healing. And because he was told of what got him the healing, he was in a better position to replicate the same thing. Jesus told him, it was not your shouting that got you healing. It was not your earnestness that got you healing. It was your faith. Jesus said to him, your faith has made you whole. In other words, he's able tomorrow to exercise the same faith for a different situation. These other nine, they probably weren't thinking our shouting got us results. We're going to shout for every problem we have. We will shout and we'll get results. And that was wrong. So when you are grateful, it creates an environment for a greater harvest. This man was told by Jesus, your faith has made you well. You have believed in me. And the same way you have believed in me, you can believe and you get results in other areas. And this morning, I want you to know, when you are grateful, that environment for more fruit comes. You know, I'm also reminded of Jesus when Jesus was about to feed the 4,000 men. The Bible tells us that Jesus took the bread. I'm now in Matthew 15. You know, the Bible says he took the bread, the seven loaves. This is a different story from the five loaves and the two fish. The seven loaves, Jesus gave thanks and he started breaking the bread. And that seven bread, those seven loaves were able to feed 4,000 men. Can you imagine having a church of 4,000 men? It's a massive congregation. And that congregation was fed by seven loaves. What made it possible? Jesus gave thanks and the seven were multiplied. When you give thanks for what you have, there's an increase that comes your way. Glory be to God. Again, I'm reminded of John 11, where Jesus was about to resurrect Lazarus, the dead man, 4 days in the grave, in the tomb. Jesus proclaimed and he said, "Father, I thank you that you hear me. But for the sake of these people, I'm going to make this prayer. Lazarus, come forth." Jesus gave thanks and there was a miracle that happened. I want you to know, when you are a grateful person, you are a person who operates in miracles. Because gratefulness triggers an environment for miracles in our lives. Glory be to God. I don't know what has been your journey. Have you taken what God has given you for granted? Do not appreciate something when you have lost it. Appreciate things when you have them. When Mama is in the grave there, she does not hear you no more. Appreciate Mama now. Pick up the phone and say, "Mama, I really want you to know I love you and I appreciate you." Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Bless them. The Bible says, honor your parents so that your days on earth here will be many. And I want you to think about people that you should have honored. You should have been grateful for what they've done in your life. And do the right thing. Glory be to God. We're going to finish here today. But I want us to end off today with just prayers of thanksgiving. You know, there's a story, a song that says, "Count your blessings one by one, and you'll be amazed by what God has done." You'll be amazed by what God has done. The devil wants you to count your sorrows one by one, and then he wants you to be amazed by how much he has done. No, that's a lie of the devil. Let's count our blessings, and you realize that they outweigh what the enemy is trying to do in our lives. Today, let's end off today with prayers of gratitude. To just say, "Thank you, Lord." I don't know if you have thanked him for salvation. To thank him for salvation. There are people out there who haven't come to the point of knowing Jesus. And if they die in that state, it is a sorrow state. But you are born again. You are a child of God. You are heaven going. You are forgiven. Come on now, shall we pray?